Our scripture for this morning is from the first chapter of John, the first 9 verses, and then skipping over to the 8th chapter, verse 9. And as you see in your bulletin, one of the things that I'm not sure we have full appreciation for, and so I want to just suggest that we give thanks for this, the little background illustrations and those things that are in the bulletin are put in there by our communicator in chief, Darwin, and I appreciate it so much. But you'll see on the second page of the bulletin, also from John, the 8th chapter, there's another verse there, and I'll be referring to that, the 12th verse. Our scripture is from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then from the 8th chapter, some things had occurred, and when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. May the Lord bless our reading of his word and our hearing of it. One observable fact to all people is that there is one thing that gives us light to be able to see during the day when we stand in the middle of nature, that is, when we stand outside, and that is the sun, you know, sunlight. As a matter of fact, when we get into school, and that is in the very earliest of grades, we're taught that the sun, that bright orb up in the sky, is the center of our solar system, just of our solar system, not the center of the universe. Thus, it is the light that lights up our world. What do we know about the sun? Well, the sun is 93 million miles from Earth. And if, when Bobby Thomas was a baby, he had started at birth flying to the sun and traveled at 150 miles per hour, he'd be getting close enough now to be getting pretty warm and would be looking forward to setting his toes on that sort of hot surface at the age of nearly 71. You're not there yet, are you, Bobby? Just a few years from now. What do you think, Bob? Well, that's a bit fanciful, but here are a few more facts that we know about this particular light of our world. Astronomers estimate that the diameter of the sun is 109 times that of the Earth, and its output of energy is 70,000 horsepower per square yard per minute. The temperature at its surface is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So watch your toes, Bobby. There's a whole lot to know about this bright light of our world, and it's a great and wonderful light. But the light of the world is not the sun, the S-U-N. It is the sun, sun, capital S, capital O, capital N. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, declared himself to be that light, to be the light of the world. And it was he who made the sun, because as our scripture text for this morning, John 1 verse 3 says, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made, telling us that he was coexistent with the Father in creation. With one bold stroke, John recorded it in chapter 8, verse 9, Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world." Though it's beyond our human feeble intellect to grasp, we reach out by faith and we try to capture some of the Lord's meaning in this metaphor that Jesus assigned to himself. Well, you know how us preachers are, and in order to try to grab hold of a sermon subject in a systematic way, we often use a series of alliterative words, words that start with the same letter or start with the same sound. Well, as an example, the artful aid of apt alliteration. Pretty good there, huh? So here I go, good old alliteration. Looking at light, light is sometimes repellent, sometimes rejected, is revealing, is refining, is regulatory, and is reassuring. Rejected, revealing, refining, regulatory, reassuring. So let's go through these R's. Light is sometimes repellent. Now, immediately before Jesus proclaimed that he was the light of the world, the scribes and the Pharisees had brought to him a woman apprehended for the act of adultery. And they demanded that he give them an opinion as to her punishment in light of Moses' law. Well, all Jesus did was stoop down and write on the ground. Well, then he looked up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." That's the seventh verse. Well, then he wrote again, and when he looked up, the accusers had slunk away one by one until only he and the condemned woman were left. The truth was that they did not like what the light revealed to them about their own nature. It was repellent to them. Turn over a log in the woods, and bugs will just go all over everywhere. Not because they're afraid of you, but because the sudden light is repellent to them. Well, two chapters earlier, in John 6, Jesus had spoken in the synagogue in Capernaum, shedding more light on his divine sonship and his mission, and his preaching had driven away almost all of the crowd. Well, that's not exactly how we think preaching should be today. It ought to be happy and cheerful and about positive thinking and draw great crowds and a super television ministry. You see, we want crowd getters. We want to pack them in. But Jesus frequently thinned them out. His revealing light repelled those who could not, or more truthfully, would not find their way out of the darkness. Well, the gospel has always been a stumbling block. Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." It was this very quality of the light of God that Jesus so vividly described to Nicodemus in John 3, just after those famous words of John 3:16. "This is the verdict," Jesus said. "Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." They're repelled. Well, that brings us to the second of the R's, because light sometimes repels, light is sometimes rejected. The next two verses beyond our text of John 1, verses 10 and 11, we got down to verse 9. Let's go on to verse 10 and 11. "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They not only didn't receive him, they rejected him. Well, can you even think of a dying person refusing a doctor? Can you even imagine a starving person rejecting bread? Can you comprehend a drowning person refusing rescue, or a freezing person refusing, rejecting a warm house? Yet the light, he who was sent to illuminate the reality of God, was summarily rejected by many to whom he appeared in person, and he is still rejected by many. Why? Well, first of all, and this is an absolute truth, the nature of humanity is sinful. And sin is as far from the light of God as is possible, therefore, naturally rejecting that light. Next, those who live in the reality of the darkness of evil do not want their evil deeds to be exposed. And people who reject the light of the world are absolutely subject to another ruler, the prince of darkness, Satan, who rules in the hearts of unregenerate people. And sadly, there are some people who are just not paying attention. Some people are so lost in the darkness of not paying attention ignorance, they are blindly ignoring and are ignorant of the blessing of the true light. But woven into the fabric of all of these divine truths is the fact that light is revealing to expose the dreadful, and conversely to show us the delightful. And so the third R of that light is revealing. The light reveals us to ourselves. We never see ourselves truly, that is, the truth of who we are, until we see ourselves as compared to Christ. The Christ who was revealed by Jesus, the light of the world. In that light, the woman at the Samaritan well saw herself revealed, and she said, "Come, see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" In that light, the thief on the cross looked at Jesus, saw the revealing of himself, and blessedly and with true hope was then enabled to say, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Then again, the light reveals the identity of Jesus as the Christ to us. The woman at the well saw herself, but she also saw Jesus and identified him. Is this not the Messiah? The two who walked on the road to Emmaus finally recognized Jesus by the light of his own revelation. The light shone. And John the Baptist so recognized Jesus that as he saw Jesus coming to him, he declared without hesitation, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so it's important that we all ask ourselves, has the true light of the world dawned upon me and revealed the identity of Christ to me? Well, the light also reveals the Father. Philip, on that night in the upper room, voiced the yearning of many a disciple down through the ages when he requested, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And brilliantly and sacredly, Jesus claimed his own identity, an absolute identity with the Father, when he replied, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." clearly the light reveals the Father. And even before that upper room testimony, four chapters before in John 10, Jesus had said, I and the Father am one. Jesus had shed the light about his oneship with the Father, but it took a while for it to completely dawn upon the disciples. And we ask ourselves the question, has the light of the world, Jesus the Son, yet revealed the Father to me? In addition, the light reveals the way of salvation. Jesus spoke again to the people, and this is an again. Verse 12, after verse 9 of chapter 8, which is our text, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's John 8:12. That's on your bulletin. That's salvation revealed. In chapter 14, in the upper room, he said to his disciples seated around the table, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is salvation revealed. You know, the truth of the matter is that never has so much light been thrown on any subject as when the light of the world shone on us, his followers, on himself, on the Father, and on the way of redeeming salvation. Well, the fourth R discloses that light is refining. Wherever Jesus has come into the hearts of people, there has been a refining, purifying, uplifting influence. Purify my heart. When the light of Jesus came into the demoniac, the dark evil spirits went out. When his light came into the heart of Simon Peter, holy refinement followed. When the brilliant light of Christ burst upon Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, that pent-up intellect, that energetic drive for truth, that undisclosed missionary heart was refined and refined and refined into the ever-growing Paul, now the apostle, who then set out to share that light with the whole world. As sunlight purifies, so the sunlight of God refines unto purification wherever he shines. Now here's that R that you were wondering about. Light is regulatory. What does that mean? Well, you know, the ordinary traffic lights that we encounter daily are regulatory. Even the yellow lights that none of us like. We stop, we go, we use caution, we turn, we observe signs because of lights. Tell me about it. I'm one who drives the streets of Carbondale 8 hours a day. Landing lights at airports guide those giant metal birds through the night, regulating their landing to a safe landing. And in some comparable way, the great light of Jesus Christ regulates the traffic of life. That is, when he's permitted to do so. He tells us when to go and when to stop. He flashes the warning signals. He guides us through our nights to safe landings. And our college students, or those who've just finished college or something like that, can attest to the fact that the nights are pretty much the time when the most guidance of the light of Christ is needed. Well, there's a simple story of a man who drove his team of horses in a wagon both swiftly and safely on an unfamiliar road through a dark forest. And afterwards he was asked how he seemed to know so well where all the trees were along the road, because he'd missed them all as he drove down that road that he didn't know. He replied he didn't know where they were. Then he added, I looked up at the opening between the treetops, and just knew that if I followed the light above, I would be safe. Isn't that a great word for us on our spiritual journey? Let us, dear brothers and sisters, look to the light above to regulate the steps of our life's journey. And finally, this R is oh so welcome. Light is reassuring. I'll just tell you, when I've been off to St. Louis some days and headed home late at night, there is certainly a reassurance in the lights of Carbondale as I approach this city at about 11 p.m. I'm almost home. And as I turn at the corner of Meadow Lane, there's a reassuring comfort in seeing the light in the window of the house at the end of the block, the Combs house. The lights of the shore reassure ship's captain as the returning ship returns to harbor. And so it is, and abundantly more so, that our light that shines for us is the light of the world. Daily, we are coming nearer and nearer to our heavenly home, and the light is there, shining gloriously for us. And that, my fellow Christians, is the epitome of reassurance. So need we say more? The light of the world is Jesus. He told us, I am the light of the world. Now, I'm preaching a series of sermons titled the I Am Sermons. This one is, I am the light of the world. Next will be, I am the door. Why did Jesus identify that? Well, because he wanted us to know that he was God. I turn back to the third chapter of Exodus. And God was talking to Moses. Moses was talking to God, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And Jesus kept saying, I am. I am. Well, let him, the light of the world, reveal yourself, himself, and the Father, and the way of life eternal to you. Let him and his presence refine us and make us pure. Let us permit him to regulate every footstep, every mile of the journey toward our heavenly eternal home. And let us be reassured and encouraged that Christ, the light of the world, shines forever for his own. And hear this clearly, pilgrim. This light is for every person. You can have this light in your life today. Resolve this day. Yes, there is one more R word, resolve. Resolve this day to take up the light of the world and let him shine for you and through you. Amen. I heard that. Amen.